It's Sunday, February 25th, and another Sunday Golds is upon us. Arya Masudi and Brett Nevitt and Florida State Baseball now 6-0 on the year. They sweep another series to start 2024, this time against Western Carolina. Brett, well, the Noles, they win 8-4, 8-2, and then 20-7 in Game 3. The pitching for the Catamounts really started to get into its depth, and Florida State took advantage, but initial thoughts on the weekend. I know you did a pod earlier this week after Florida State beat JU. Good to be back here, and Florida State baseball continues to, I think, try and get better through this non-conference slate.
Yeah, good to have you back. You're a lot better at intros than I am, so probably better for the listening experience too. But yeah, I mean, it's a good weekend and a good week overall, and a good start to the season. Overall, second straight year, actually, that you've started 6-0 to begin the year. I just think that, you know, like I said last week, after the first series, you just took care of business against some lesser competition, and you did what you're supposed to do. I think this is what I expect the offense to kind of do against lesser pitching. And Western Carolina, I did think, was a step up this weekend a bit from Butler. And they had some arms with some good stuff that we saw, especially I think there was one arm later in the game today that was pretty good. And Pickle, the starter, had stuff, but obviously had command issues. But, yeah, it's a good weekend. And I mean, you're scoring 11.5 runs a game right now. You have 98 strikeouts and 54 innings. So I think there were two errors this weekend and played really good defense on Saturday especially. So, yeah, it's a pretty good weekend overall. And I think, you know, just – keep it going from here and keep taking care of business, and you'll be all right in that non-conference part of the season.
Yeah, getting a chance to call the weekend for ACC Network Extra and doing that on the ESPN app, Brett, you get the opportunity to go down there and talk to some of the guys, and you can see that they're mentally in a better place right now, feeling pretty good about the way they're playing. There's options. There's trust in the group, and I think that was part of the idea and the plan for the scheduling here of non-conference play, was to make sure that this group could ease its way into tougher portions of the schedule to be able to be cohesive, right, and to keep that locker room together. They do seem like a group that I think at least will be able to battle some of the highs and lows of the year far more efficiently than last year. And I think some of that trust comes mostly from what you have, not just in the lineup, but I think your weekend rotation really has shown something through the first couple of weekends. It's got a chance to be one of the better ones in the ACC.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously right now it's kind of off a little bit because of Whitaker starting on Tuesday. And, you know, Link was said after the game that they weren't totally committed to starting him again on Tuesday, but he would be scheduled, I guess, on his timeline to go and get on Tuesday. But yeah, I mean, you have at the front line of it with Leiter and Arnold, two of the better arms in the conference, probably, you would think, two of the better arms in the country, too, based on prospect profiles for those guys. And, I mean, Leiter on Friday kind of battled the fastball command, really didn't even have the fastball at all in the mix, but made it work with the curveball. And the curveball was really good. I think 6 of his 8 strikeouts were on the curveball. He kind of had an outing like this the week before the season started in the preseason that it wasn't really because of the fastball command, but he just didn't have the slider that day. But watching him adjust and battle and try to figure things out was a good sign then. And I thought it was a good sign again this past Friday. But obviously the next time he's out there, you'd want to see the fastball command kind of come back to where it's been these past 6 months or so of preseason and fall ball. So good. You need to see that come back in the fastball command, but good to see him battle and adjust and work through it. Jamie is becoming a whole different animal right now. I mean, he was still hitting 96 on his last pitch in the sixth inning of an outing. I've watched Jamie since 2020. I don't know if I ever could have foreseen that. I mean, it's just, I've always expected Jamie to take a tick up, but I don't think you can find many other starters in the entire country. I don't think you find many starters in the MLB that are left-handed pitchers that are throwing 96 still in the sixth inning. And this is from someone who late in work last year would probably be 88, 90. And I mean, the mechanics are better. And I think the biggest thing for Jamie is just like we're seeing the confidence just bud out of him right now. It's just it's crazy to see this player growth from him and see the steps that he's taken and in a year's time. And I think we always expected Jamie could be a starter and be a weekend starter and be a frontline type of guy, but this is becoming a whole different level of a pitcher. I mean, it's 96 from that slot with his slider that late into a game. I mean, that's real stuff. No matter the competition, that's stuff that's there, and that's a fact. And I don't think you're going to find many better left-handed pitchers in the country and when Jamie's in strike zone. And we've seen him in the strike zone so far this year, and that confidence and that intensity, I mean, he's just going right at guys. And you can see it when you read his lips on the field. And not a probably safe for podcasts, but Jamie's pretty confident right now and knows that guys can't hit him. And you can't hit that stuff from that slot right now.
21 batters he faced, Brett. 11 strikeouts. That'll play. 84 pitches, probably ramped up, right, if he's in midseason form in terms of the number of pitches that they would allow him to throw. You're likely seeing Jamie Arnold go into the seventh easily in this one. And you can't, like Brett said, ask for anything better. I thought his command was excellent. I thought he got ahead of hitters. And I thought in the second inning of that game when he was battling a moment of losing the command, got behind 2-0 and a couple of batters, Jamie wouldn't have got out of that last year. And talking to Alan Beck, Western Carolina's coach in BP today, he said, I thought he was tougher on us than Leiter was. And we talked about how last year, Arnold probably would have let that snowball on him. And if things were going good, Jamie could get through it. And if things weren't going good, Jamie would kind of give into the situation. So that's big maturity, a step forward for Arnold's. It's premium, man. Lefty that throws that hard. The slider looked as good as I'd seen it. Adding a changeup in, I know you had been big on him adding a third pitch. He didn't need it a ton, but they did show it. And it looked like it had some good late life to it, too. There's a chance there for Jamie Arnold to really compete to be one of the best pitchers in the country this season. Consistency will be key, right? Better lineups are coming. However, that's a big, big start for him. Not just for his confidence, but for where Florida State wants to go here this season.
Yeah, obviously it's pretty early days on in the season still, as you said. But yeah, that stuff, you can't deny that stuff. And as long as he keeps it going and that velocity can, I mean, it doesn't have to be 96 all the time. It can be in the low 90s and still miss bats because of the late life it gets up in the zone and the slot that it's coming from. But yeah, I mean, that's, I was texting with Coach Menendez from Jesuit today on my way home, and he was just saying it is kind of unbelievable what Jamie's becoming right now. And I think part of it is he's added a lot of physicality to him, and a lot of these guys on this team look more physical from last year. Guys that have come back, they look like stronger and just in better physical shape. And That's part of maturing and being in the system one more year and being in the weight room for 160 plus days a year in that system. So, it's really, really encouraging what Jamie's done so far. And I mean, between him and Leiter, 21 innings, only 8 hits allowed, 41 strikeouts between the two of them, 7 walks, and only 1 earned run. So, yeah, I mean, like we said, the competition is competition, but stuff is stuff, and their stuff's going to play against anybody.
I was talking to Micah Posey, Florida State's pitching coach, before the game yesterday, before Arnold's start, and he wanted just to see efficiency, right? Said from week one to week two, I want to see him getting the less 3 ball counts. And he did that, I thought, against Western Carolina. Talking about the way that Leiter's ball plays up in the zone, Brett, you mentioned it. Coming from that arm slot, and some of the metrics that he has, it's almost like a rise ball in softball, you know, that where it starts, where it finishes. It's a unique angle for hitters. And a team like Western Carolina, who at times had 7 guys from the left-handed side, I mean, that's kind of a kryptonite, right? And when Jamie's got it going, he can shut down that type of lineup pretty easily. And it looked effortless at times, right? We talked about the second inning, but for the most part, it looked effortless. And Leiter, it was my first look at Cam, really, and I was impressed with the way he battled, like you said. He didn't have his fastball, and somehow the secondary stuff is so good that he can get you 5 innings of what goes down as a near-quality start. If he needed one more inning to have a quality start, per the metrics. But just one earned run, three walks. I know that's going to make him unhappy, but eight strikeouts, and he did everything he could on a day that he didn't have his best stuff. To me, that shows a competitor. That shows a kid that's not giving in and that's going to continue to fight for you. Very similar to Parker Messick in that way. Not the way they pitch, but in the way that if Parker didn't have his best stuff, and we talked about it on other podcasts, Messick would get you into the sixth or seventh on just sheer competitiveness, right? And he would eat up innings. And I saw that from Leiter. He was at 90 pitches through five, probably could have gone in midseason one more if you needed him to and go past that century mark. But I really like this one too, Brett. This, you had been telling me, you know, in text messages and kind of under the radar, that there's a chance that it's pretty good if it clicks. Two weekends in, I don't know if it's fully clicked yet with the two of them. However, it's not far off. And I'd like to see it one more weekend in Greenville. That's going to be cool. A little opportunity for Florida State against three completely different teams. Both guys are going to get different teams. They're not going to be able to bounce ideas off each other mm-hmm. on the lineups they're facing. So that'll be unique. But that being said, those two, really good. We think the third guy is Whitaker, right? We expect that to be your third guy. Hard for us to evaluate that right now because he hasn't been in the weekend. Tejeda, it didn't go his way today. But I thought Saucer came in and gave you some really good innings.
Yeah, obviously with Yoel, it's a tough situation, and you never want to see that. I mean, 12 pitches and 12 balls, and it just gets to an uncomfortable situation with, you know, the whole park, and you can feel it get tense, and it's just got to be brutal being the one out there on the mound, being trying to make the adjustment and figure it out. But I mean, Yoel's first pitch, he spiked pretty short of the plate, and I just thought that he was a little amped up. The velocity ticked back up to a spot that you hadn't seen it in the preseason yet, but it seemed like he just was pretty amped up and not able to get his mechanics in sync. But like, command hasn't been the huge issue for Yoel for a while. Like, I haven't seen him that way in a long time. I've watched him since this all of his Cape League outings and every preseason and fall outing. And I mean, he walks guys time to time, and he has some walks issues, but that's more so because of not being able to get swing and miss late in count and trying to find an out pitch still. But yeah, that fastball command, he just couldn't figure it out, and it gets away from you quick, and it's a tough situation. But I would hope that they get him back out there soon for him to try to figure it out because of the potential stuff that is there. But yeah, like you said, it presented a good opportunity for Saucer to get in there and get some extended work. He was somebody that they extended out in the preseason. Obviously, the line doesn't end up looking great with three runs and in three plus innings, but those first three innings were really good, and it settled that game down for you, and it let the offense go to work and open up a big lead, and pretty much put that series away on Tibbs' grand slam. But you know, that's because of the work that Saucer was doing there in the second, third, and fourth inning. With Sauce, he's going to be in the strike zone. He pounds the strike zone with fastball, slider. Fastball is good life, especially up in the zone. It's got good late life. It's not the highest velocity fastball. It's mostly going to be low 90s, but it gets swings and misses pretty high rate. And I thought the slider was pretty decent today. Thing I like the most about Sauce is just the tempo with which he works. It's get the ball and go. There's no wasted movement. You're not having your defender standing out there waiting for you to get the ball and walk around the mound and stuff. He gets it and goes, and it's a really good tempo, and it's good mound presence. And I think he'll be someone that can eat up innings for them this year as a freshman.
Well, Brett, just on Saucer, one, were you seeing the same thing I was with a fastball that, while not necessarily mid-90s, had some late life up in the zone, was hard for batters to get a gauge on? And two, did you also agree that Florida State was trying to see how far they could extend him and trying to maybe build his arm up a little bit for longer stints in the season? Second time through the order is where he struggled, right? Like a lot of freshmen do. That first time through, the first nine batters, I thought he held his own, and I thought he showed you an arm that I think could move into the top eight there of options.
Yeah, I think he's been pretty consistent all the way since the start of the fall. I mean, I thought that he was one of the best pitchers in the fall and in the entire program. The fastball has always got swings and misses up in the zone and has good late life to it and rides up in the zone. And that's a quality that a lot of these guys are showing. I mean, Lauk showed it too today, and that's something he's showed before. Hudson, like I've talked about before, that's a quality that he has. So a few of these freshman arms have that good fastball quality. But and Sauce, yeah, I think they were trying to see how far they could extend him, but I think they also know that he is capable of that. I mean, I think he threw four innings in his last outing of the preseason, and it was a really quality outing, and I thought he got better as he got deeper into it. And, yeah, I do think he is someone that could be part of the group that they rely on this year a good bit.
Can we talk about some of those other freshmen, too, with Rowan and Lauk as well? Excuse me. I thought Brady Lauk took a step forward from his last appearance on that Sunday game.
Yeah, I think he just got amped up in his first appearance. And walked a couple of batters before getting a strikeout against the third batter he faced that first appearance. But back in the strike zone this week and showed the good fastball quality. You know, he kind of has a similar slot to Jamie, kind of similar fastball profile to Wyatt Crowell. Jamie's has more like horizontal break with that good riding life, but Lauk gets good life on it too and gets swings and misses with it. He throws more of a sweeping slider as well. Hudson, obviously, he gets charged with all the runs there on Saturday, but his first inning was really good, and he showed the swing and miss that he has and the good downer curveball, but just left the fastball middle to one of Western Carolina's better hitter. I think their leadoff hitter it was. Just left a fastball middle, and he caught up to it, and it got up in the wind stream in right center field. That the wind was kind of blowing out that way the whole weekend, I thought. But, I mean, I think you expect Hudson to be someone that is going to miss bats at a high rate when he's in the strike zone, but he did walk three. We've kind of seen an outing of both with Hudson so far, but first two innings he threw in an FSU uniform were really good, and then just when he tried to bring him back out for the eighth and gives up four runs on his line and two from that home run, and then two runners that he left on base ended up scoring as well. So, but yeah, I think Hudson, Saucer, and Lauk are all three guys that will be in the mix this year and contribute innings and not just in mop up kind of duty and that stuff. I think they're guys that can be trusted as freshmen, and they're going to be given opportunities to show that they should be trusted.
Brett, I think two of those three guys will need to be reliable consistently for you this season. Just with where you're at, some of the injuries you've faced with the staff of a couple of guys you won't have available that you thought you might coming in, that's a good thing, right? In some ways, it can be. When you get younger guys opportunities, Rowan actually, the short compactness of his delivery reminded me a lot of Drew Parrish. There was some Drew Parrish there with what Rowan showed, and I thought that was pretty exciting. Stuff might have been a tick better than what Parrish showed you, but Parrish really turned himself into quite a player by the time he left Florida State. So the freshman, pretty good. Can we talk about some guys that maybe not veterans per se in terms of have been here 3 or 4 years, upperclassmen, but guys who they're going to rely on in Ben Barrett. And then it was good to see Andrew Armstrong get back out there on the Sunday game, and he pitched really well in the inning of work he got.
Yeah, really good to see Ben get his first appearance of the year. He threw three scoreless innings on a Friday, piggybacking off of Leiter's start. Three innings, only allowed a hit and a walk. I think those both came in his first inning of work. I don't think he allowed a base runner after that, I want to say. Struck out three batters. Ben is just going to have three pitches in the strike zone at all times. And I think when he's in the bullpen, you hope maybe the fastball ticks up even a little bit more than it has already. I think he's been up to 94, I want to say. But I think you think that he might be able to pick keep going up the velocity ladder as he puts on, you know, some more weight. And the mechanics get even more and more consistent. He's doing a better job with his mechanics this year, just like Jamie is, I think. And then Army made his first appearance as well on Sunday after he threw that first live session on Thursday. And like you said, pretty good inning for Army as well. I think one strikeout in his frame, faced four batters and retired three. And I think another good outing on Saturday was Ox, just being able to hammer that thing shut after it kind of got a little bit away from you a little bit there on Saturday. And they put the first two base runners on in the ninth inning, which brought the tying run on deck. So he actually ended up getting a save from that. But he did a good job of bearing down after the first two got in the ninth inning, and he executed pitches after that. And when Ox executes pitches, he can get swings and misses with the slider down below the zone and the fastball up at the top of the zone. So just good to see him execute in a high leverage moment there.
Was really excited about what we saw from Barrett. They had been working on his mechanics and his arm slot, and it changed for the better. I think velo was up a tick as well. Three innings, like you said, and not giving up a run. That's going to work for 53 pitches especially. And he faced 12 guys and did a really nice job. Army's important, in my opinion, for what you want to do this season. Whether that's matchup, lefty-lefty, whether that's he needs to pitch three innings at times, whether that's he needs to close a game. You know, he needs an inning to shut one down. I kind of think they're going to use Army in different ways this season, and a lot of the same things that they can do with Dorsey. And it's a kid who's been there, right? Like, that's a kid who's been in big situations, has already been asked to do different things in his career. He's had some struggles. He's had some successes. That's another competitive one, too, in Armstrong. He does have a competitive streak, and I don't know how many innings total he's going to give you this year. I don't know how many appearances. I don't think he'll lead the team like he did last year with the 32 or whatever it was. But that's because you may not need him to go that many times that frequently and multiple times in a weekend. But he is important. I think he's one of those, I say, top eight arms for this Florida State team when you're talking about the ones that you can trust and rely on as you get into the deeper portions of your conference slate. But good to see that. I think overall pitching, solid job this weekend. Western Carolina is a deep lineup. They're older. I'm not sure that Western Carolina is a tournament-type team. They could get hot in their conference tournament with that lineup. And certainly they could win the Southern Conference, right? That's the same conference with, like, Wofford and I want to say Mercer and UNCG and that core, right, if I'm not mistaken. Eastern Tennessee State's been decent there. I'm missing one, right? Who's the cowbell of the Southern Conference? It's like Samford. There it is. Florida State's played them a ton over the years. So pitching was good. Good stuff. I don't think we want to get in too much deeper on it because there's still weekends to play.
I was just going to say that I think the only thing you nitpick is just bullpen execution and walks again. Pretty similar to last weekend as well. And like I've said, that is the concern. It's not something that has come out of nowhere, I don't think, as a concern. But that's what you get with stuff, honestly. And like, there's not that many pitchers in the country that don't struggle with command and consistency at this point. When you watch other teams, like, a lot of teams walk a lot of batters and a lot of teams give up a lot of runs. And at least when you have stuff and you're missing bats and you're getting strikeouts, like, it gives you a larger margin of error. And they're missing bats at the highest rates right now. I would think that they're still leading the country in K per nine. But, yeah, I mean, you don't want to walk as many guys as they've walked so far, though, I don't think. 39 walks in 54 innings. I think you'd want to lower that a bit. But still early and still guys settling in. And they're still showing the stuff that you expect. So that's a good sign.
I think they walked 22 total this weekend and struck out 46.
Yeah, they walked 10 alone today.
Yeah, but that kind of, I think, highlights your point. High swing and miss stuff, and there's going to be some walks there too.
Yeah.
For the most part, though, tell me if I'm wrong before we get into hitting. I thought defense behind them was pretty good on the weekend. It's as good as I've seen it in a couple of years, and especially game two, your group was making web gems everywhere.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, pretty solid defensively. I think you only had two errors. I think there was one pass ball that cost an unearned run as well, but one of the errors came on a pickoff. The other one was just on one of those weird, funky balls between second and first base where it takes first baseman away from the bag and the pitcher's got to try to cover and catch a throw from the second baseman. And, you know, Ferreau and Leiter weren't able to connect on that on Friday, but other than that, I mean, it was a solid weekend defensively. Like I said, with the strikeouts, it gives you a larger margin for error because the ball is not in play as much either. So not as many opportunities for the defense as sometimes in the past. And, you know, in the limited opportunities that they've had, they have made some pretty darn good plays. I mean, the Saturday, the play by Diamez in center field to go up, elevate, and get that baseball, that's as good as it gets at Hauser for me. It's a really tough spot of the field to navigate. And I mean, he perfectly timed the leap. He went way up to go get it. He made the catch, secured the catch. I thought he had no chance of catching that ball when he went to go get it. And, that's just as good as it gets. And that's Diamez just being really good at preparing for those moments and working a lot in center field to know exactly how to get there. And he made that catch pretty similarly, almost the exact same catch. I think it was the last week in a preseason. So to see him do that again, I mean, I was amazed by it for the first time, and I was amazed by it again on Saturday. And obviously, Tibbs made a couple nice plays on Friday, I believe. Jaime made a nice catch on Saturday. I think Cam had a couple decent plays as well. There was one ball that he did a really good job of cutting off in front of the shortstop on a slow roller. Pretty good weekend defensively.
I think if you get a B most weekends defensively, that's going to be pretty important, right? Yeah. Especially with the pitching that you have that can generate swings and misses, and the offense that you have that we think that they're going to have all year. If you can get a B, minus, B plus, just be a B.
There are still some things like with the throws in from the outfield and hitting cutoffs and stuff like that and throwing it to the right spot and those little awkward plays like the one between second and first that they're still...
Some of the catching.
Yeah, it's still trying to iron out completely. But for the most part, they haven't been noticeable defensively as a unit. So I think you take what you've gotten so far. 970 fielding percentage and 6 errors for 6 games.
Yeah, I do think you take that. All right, offensively... Brett, we could go through every single player that played, but I think, again, since we're only in weekend number 2, that seems a bit early. Generalities, we have to mention Drew Ferreau was ridiculous this weekend. 6 extra base hits, quite possibly could win ACC Player of the Week. I didn't quite see what everyone else did around the league, but he showed that athleticism and the switch hitting power that we thought was possible in there. The home run he hit to right field was as hard hit of a baseball, I think, as I've ever had a chance to call. But you see what this staff was really excited about when they got Ferreau.
Yeah, you're seeing some of the power impact and the extra base hit impact and his athleticism. You're seeing all that come out at the same time. And he is someone that when he gets going, it's going to be hard to stop for a while. I think he had, 8 total hits this weekend? He had 4 ribbies on the Sunday game to go with another 3-hit game. I think he had 2 3-hit games. So really impressive, and he did it from both sides of the plate. I think he had multiple hits from both sides of the plate and probably multiple extra base hits from both sides of the plate. So a really, really impactful weekend. And, I mean, he's hitting .538 now after 6 games. He's 14-26 to start the year with 4 doubles, a triple, and a homer. Second on the team with 7 ribbies to Tibbs' team leading 14. So, and he's got 4 stolen bases, too, to lead the team. So it's been a really impactful start for Drew to his Florida State career.
Cool to see James Tibbs have a multi-home run game. It felt like through the first 4 or 5 games of the year, he was just missing some of these extra base hits. And on Sunday, we're recording here almost 10 o'clock on Sunday night, he hit 2 home runs and having his second grand slam of the season in his first plate appearance had to feel good for a kid that I think has represented Florida State well and has put in a lot of work.
Yeah, I had a couple people ask me on Saturday if I was concerned about Tibbs, and I kind of just laughed it off. There's 140-some games of production from Tibbs, and at this level showing that this is what he does offensively. He hits, and it's easy power to all fields, and he's going to hit homers to all fields, and he's shown that he comes up in the clutch. We see that. You see that in his RBI numbers. He's already got 2 grand slams this season, career-high 6 RBIs on Sunday, 14 RBIs already this season. And I think the biggest thing with Tibbs, the biggest improvement he's made over the last couple of years is just his pitch selection and the ability to put really good at-bats together. I mean, he's got 29 plate appearances so far this year and has yet to strike out, and he's walked 5 times, and You just don't see Tibbs chase out of the zone very much at all anymore. And to see him lower the strike count numbers over the last 2 years has been really fun to watch, and to watch him become the complete hitter that he's becoming now. It's fun to watch. He's just a really good hitter, and I don't really ever get concerned. I mean, guys are going to go through ruts, but when somebody has production like he's had over the last 2 years, it takes a really, really long rut for me to be concerned over that.
Other guys that stood out to you this weekend? I mean, Ferrer had a couple of base hits. I still think Diamez Ross is just an incredible baseball player. Good to see Cantu get rewarded a couple times. And I actually thought Jackson West showed me some really good at-bats there at the bottom of the order, too.
Yeah, West is someone that's going to put good ABs together. He fights. He works a lot of pitches. He takes his walks when he needs to, and he puts the bat to the ball for the most part. Like you said, Jaime, I thought, had a good weekend, had a good week overall. That clutch hit against Jacksonville, I thought that was on Tuesday. That got you going for this week. So I think Max Williams today leading off in place of Diamez, had a pretty good day. Diamez, I think, is just day-to-day, just a little banged up and something that they don't want to push this early in the season. But like you said, Diamez is just – he's just a lot of fun to watch. He's as instinctive as a baseball player gets. He's as smart of a baseball player as you're going to watch, in my opinion. His knowledge of the strike zone, I mean, he basically calls strikes and balls for the umpire when you watch him. And, I mean, that Saturday game, first at-bat, he leads off the game with another leadoff single. His next at-bat, he perfectly executes a safety squeeze to drive in a run. Next at-bat, he lunges out on two strikes to get bat to ball and push it out to the outfield for a sacrifice fly. And in the middle of all that, he makes a web gem play in center field. And that's the energy he plays with. He's just a baseball player. Like, that's just, if I had to build a team around somebody's instincts and their knowledge of the game, it would be Diamez. It's just, he's really fun to watch, and he puts so much preparation into it. I mean, there's a reason that, he's so good at what he does. I mean, I watched him last year while he was injured go and stand in the batter's box after a game for like 15 minutes and take swings against a ghost. And I watched him run around in the outfield and take reads on fly balls when nobody was hitting them. But that's the type of preparation he puts into it. And, you know, I think hopefully you get him back soon, and you need him. You need him at the top of the order, being that table setter.
I thought Cam Smith had a good weekend, too. I think he showed good at bats. We're still waiting on his first home run of the year, but
it'll come.
Yeah, it definitely will. And Brett, you've said this last year and before he got here, he's at his best when he's up the middle and away, right? And he's going to the opposite field. You could see that he was making an emphasis to do that this weekend again. And when you look at him right now and his numbers, I mean, they're still really good. Through 25 at-bats, he's hitting .440 and an on-base percentage of .548. You know, that'll work.
Yeah, he is at his best when he's driving the ball to the backside. And it's because when he's letting the ball get deep, he has enough strength to be able to drive it that way and do damage, especially with the right field fence. You know, the homers will come at some point. For a lot of these guys, I mean, some people have talked about, you know, how few homers they've hit so far, only seven, and Tips has three of those, but they're going to come. I mean, you don't want to start pressing for them. That's when you get too big and you start just being a bad offense overall, but they're going to come at some point. You're too physical. You're too deep 1 through 9 with physicality for the homers not to come. So I'm not worried about that, but yeah, Cam, yeah, when he's driving the ball that way, it gives him the ability to stay on the slider as well. And like Link said, after the game on Friday, it just opens up his game completely. And man, he can really just absolutely rope some balls to the backside. It's pretty crazy to watch the ball leave his bat when he barrels it up sometimes. And probably said that hundreds of times before with Cam, but it is just, it's a different, something different about that swing when he connects with the baseball.
It's what a baseball player is supposed to look like. I think if you're drawing it up in the lab, right? I said that about Drew Mendoza a couple years back. Like, if you're drawing a kid up in a lab, that's what a baseball player looks like. Same with, like, remember at Wake, Brock Wilken, obviously. Like, there are kids that you look at and you go, should be playing baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. You point and you go, that's a baseball player. Yeah. Yeah. Cam is the prototype. Things that stood out for me, Brett, that I'm happy with so far through six games, 44 walks, 30 strikeouts. Thank you very much. Good job. 478 on base percentage. Great job. 18 extra base hits, not including home runs. I like that. Things are good. The pitching sucks right now that you're facing. I'm going to be quite honest with you. There's, and you laugh, but Brett, like, come on. Like, these are not arms that, they're not going to test you. The kid who Western Carolina threw today, as talented as an arm as he is, just, like, airmailed the catcher three times. And I'm thinking, what was going through my mind calling that first inning? I'm broadcasting professionally, but in the back of my brain, I'm going, who's getting better right now?
Have you ever witnessed two starters record a combined 0 ounce?
Do you know how many times I hit the cough button so that I could cut my mic? The feed didn't go over the air. Me and Chris Chavez were looking at each other like, what is going on?
It was it was spooky.
Is that as unique of a first inning as you've been a part of?
Oh, that was, I don't know if unique's the right word for it.
It's the nicest word for it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So,
it wasn't
379 as a team overall. Yeah, no, it wasn't good. But again, the kids that you're facing right now aren't going to test you like that. It's coming. I think it might come in Greenville with a couple of arms you see. I think New Orleans might have an arm or two that you go, okay, that's different. But it's really not going to start until you get into conference play, and that's the truth. That's why we're trying to be tempered, right? We're trying to have.
Like I said,
here while we're doing our podcast.
Like I said, you took care of business.
Like you should have.
You've done what you should do.
Yeah.
And if you keep doing that, you'll be okay. And like I just, this is what this offense is going to do to teams with not great pitching. And that's why I don't expect them to lose to some of the lesser competition that they've lost to in past years. But ultimately, like we talked about before, like it's going to come down to ACC series and how you do in those ACC series. And like you have as much talent as anyone in the ACC for the most part from watching these other games. You do. There's not many teams that have a lineup like you do, 1 through 9, with that talent. And
you could extend that to 12.
Well, and I'm...
You know, the 3-4 guys that you could get at bats off the bench. Link has said it. He said, there are guys who should be playing more.
And it'd be tough to find... I know there's Wake and Duke, and those teams have good arms, but it's tough to find many other teams that have a weekend rotation of Leiter, Arnold, and Whitaker, and what you expect those guys to be.
And it's still early. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Can we say that? Like...
I mean, I just think
openly, that, like I think I can admit, I don't know what everyone else looks like right now.
Yeah,
we'll see how this team evolves.
But ultimately, like, there's not many other teams that are going to have. I mean, if you had to project it right now, Leiter and Arnold would both be like first round picks or second round picks in 2025. So, I mean, there's not that many people that have that. I don't think.
Feels a lot like what you had with Messick and Hubbard. Maybe better. I don't know. Again,
you just don't. Yeah,
I
you
don't
just
know.
Don't know for sure. You don't have probably the level of complete confidence that you had in those two guys yet. And
part of maturity, Brett, is just admitting sometimes, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
and it's cool.
Well, I mean,
we're gonna find out.
I've said that every single time somebody asks me if this is postseason quality. It's like
it's been six games. Let me get 26 games, and then I will give you a real opinion. But it's pretty good through six games. I can tell you that confidently.
I'll take 6-0.
I like what I see so far. When you factor in guys like Dingus and Holbrook and Fisher and Max Williams, you've got a lot of depth in the lineup, and it's righty, it's lefty. You got a couple of switch guys. They run pretty well. They have pop. It's a good lineup. Now let's see them do it consistently. I think through two weekends, I feel good about where this team stands. USF's going to be a fun battle for them, right? That's a step up in competition. It'll be a challenge.
Yeah, I think these midweek games are going to be your toughest challenges right now with the in-state competition that you play for the most part. And a lot of that's got to do with all the talent that comes from this state and that end up at some of the other programs like a JU and like a USF. I think the JU is a pretty quality team this year, and like I said on the last podcast, I thought that was a really good win. And I think it's going to be a battle to get a win against USF, just like it was against JU. And that's kind of how those midweek games always go. And it kind of levels the playing field, but you possibly could have a step up on pretty much anybody you play in the midweek if you were to keep Whitaker there for a couple more weeks before moving him back to the position you hoped he would be in to begin the year.
My gut tells me that's what's going to happen. Now, there are conversations we've had as TV crew that we can't really put out on a podcast publicly like this, so I won't go into detail, but it feels like Whitaker could be an option here for a couple of weeks for you in the midweek as they continue to evaluate. I don't know that it'll be very quick that they move him back into the rotation. It's going to happen, in my opinion. But I don't know if it's like...
I think it has to happen. I think it has to happen for you at some point. Because, you saw today when you've already used Barrett out of the bullpen on Friday because you want him to be one of those main bullpen arms, like along with Dorsey. You start to get thinned out on the options for who would be that next fourth starter. Obviously, Yoel could take a step forward and come back and be better, and a Saucer, I think, would be capable of it. But ultimately, once you get into ACC play, when you get into those Sunday rubber matches, I don't think there's anybody else you'd want on the mound other than Connor Whitaker. So we'll just see how that develops over the next 3-4 weeks, I guess. So
Time will tell, no mm-hmm. doubt. See, only Link really knows what Link's thinking. Mm-hmm. So. Last thing I want you to touch on, Brett, because it became a hot topic throughout the week. Is this team going to steal a lot of bases? They only stole one this weekend. Seems like it's not this juggernaut of a base-stealing group as some of the other media might want you to believe. I know you're laughing, but Link basically laughed when he was asked, and he said, selectively, we're gonna run. Depends on who the catcher is on the other side.
Well, yeah, I think... they're more athletic this year than they have been a bit in the past, and that's just part of getting athletes. They're mostly built to be a physical offense that's going to hit extra base hits, and that hasn't fully come into play yet. But I think at some point that is going to be what this offense is. And you're trying to pick your spots probably, and you're doing it based on, like you said, what you're getting with the catchers and the pitchers' times to home and stuff like that. All that stuff is just matchup-based and all that kind of stuff. And that stuff, I mean, it pretty much varies game to game. But I don't think it's a team that has, like, supernatural, like, just go and get it on a green light all the time, like a Ricky Henderson or something, stuff like that. Like, guys that are going to rack up huge stolen base numbers. But I think as a unit... that Link will try to do it at the right times and put pressure on teams in different ways with hit and runs and stuff like that and pick his spots and do it in a smart way. But yeah, I think they only had one this weekend after 15 in the first three games. So it's kind of just
against a catcher who wasn't, a couple of catchers who weren't exactly defensive stalwarts back then.
Well, and I think they had a few like hit and runs that they put in play this week, and when the hitter executes it, then obviously the stolen base doesn't end up in the stat sheet, but it gets you an extra bag. So they took extra bags a little bit in different ways this week.
I also thought they scouted the center field options for Western Carolina really well.
It was an adventure on Saturday for their center field.
There was a point where McGahee at third base was waving everybody in.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, make them prove that they're going to gun you at the plate.
Yeah.
And they didn't, actually. I mean, at any point, they didn't do it. So it's a smart staff, right? Like, they're going to evaluate. They do their research. They're watching guys take,
you're infield, doing outfield.
Like, they're definitely watching. So, I think, again, six games in, we're still evaluating what this team's going to be and what their identity is going to be overall. But, Brett, any final thoughts before we sign off on this episode?
No, just ready to get on to Tuesday already, I guess, to USF. Like I said, those midweek competitions, there's good tests of how you're going to handle some close games. And they handled it well last Tuesday after they got tied up and made some some clutch swings and clutch plays and clutch pitches in the moment that they had to have on the road. So USF coming to the town on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. I think it's on ACCNX again. So yeah, I think you'll hear from us probably again after that and to talk about upcoming Greenville series as well. So it should be an interesting week, USF and then three obviously different teams that you play on the weekends. So we'll see how it goes.
Hope I can be a part of it with you very soon. I don't know when that'll be. It was nice to be back in the booth and to be at Hauser. It was nice to catch up with you before games three times. But this week is nuts. Basketball season, crossover season gets very difficult. And I'm actually on a plane tomorrow to Greenville, of all places. Beat the baseball team there, I guess. But I'm there for basketball, and Clemson and Pitt play on the men's side on Tuesday. So I'll be on the call there for ACC Network and then fly to Louisville, Kentucky to call Florida State women's basketball at Louisville on Thursday. And then I'll fly to Atlanta to call Florida State men's basketball against Georgia Tech on Saturday. So when we will be together again, Brett and Evett, I don't know. But we'll be together in spirit, no doubt about it. And continue to do a great job covering this team. You'll have a preview no matter what, I think, later this week, no matter what happens. But, all right, 6-0. You can't ask for anything better, right? Like, that's perfect.
A lot of teams have lost.
Yeah, to teams that they shouldn't be losing to.
Feels nice.
It does.
To have a zero in the loss column.
It does.
You'll never deny that, so, yeah.
All right, Tuesday, 5 o'clock against USF. And so we talk to you later on this week. He's Brett Nevett. I'm Aria Masudi, and this has been Sunday Golds.